Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Save the Kids podcast. It's your one-stop shop for raising kids in this tech-heavy world. We bring on professionals and experts to give you all the tools you need to help your kids become fire-breathing warriors that have the strength to break out of the mold society has put them in. At the end of the day, we're all here for one reason, to help save some kids. I'm your host, Nate Webb. Let's get to it. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Save the Kids podcast. It's your host, Nate Webb, live in Studio Salt Lake City area, and we have a show for you today. We talk a lot about why devices and screens are bad for our kids, and we go into, you know, why, but very rarely, and it's been a hot second, that we've dived into like the scientific why. Like, we usually just like, it's bad for your kids, and give alternatives and all that good stuff. And so I was like, how we should need to talk about this. And then I came across our guest today, and I'm super, super excited. I think we're going to learn a lot of great stuff. So Dr. Beverly Pell is a care coach helping parents raise smart kids in a digital world. At Smart Digital Kids, she shares strategies and tactics with a positive outlook for how technology and social media can be used for good while steering clear of what's bad. She's a teacher, leader, wife, mom, and grandmom, sweetest little granddaughter, who's inspired her to begin her company, Smart Digital Kids. Kids who know how to use tech intentionally, responsibly, and creatively for the purpose of well-being. Welcome, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Thanks for the invitation. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. So first off, how the heck are you? Where are you coming at us from?
I'm well. I'm coming at you guys from sunny California. Finally.
Cali.
We've had a really gray, wet spring, and now the sun is fighting to come out, and it's actually right there. So I'm really happy.
You guys are like, this is a ripoff. We pay for this nice weather. Come on.
Yes, really. So man, it's nice. Well,
I'm glad it's warming up for you guys. Here in Utah, it has been kind of dreary. Like, the sun came out early, and then it snowed like 6 feet in May. And we're like, what? And it's still pretty rainy, but the sun's coming out to play, so we're happy about that. So how did you end up in this space? You know, you have quite the gambit of experience. What's your story here? Lay it on us.
Well, I just kind of go wherever the universe pushes me, I guess. I write my goals down, and which are like 105, and then I just go wherever it goes. But, you know, I think the thing that brought me to where I'm at today really was the birth of my granddaughter. And she's 4 already. And I was able to watch her in the first 6 months of her life, like Monday through Friday, my daughter, my son-in-law went back to work. So I got to be mommy kind of to her.
Right.
And I noticed just right off the bat, I was using my phone way too much, meaning like I would feed her with my phone in my hand and the bottle propped so she can drink while I'm doing my screens. I'm like, okay, wait, I didn't do this because my son, they're 20 years apart. So 20 years earlier, I did not do this with my son. So I knew what to compare it to. So I just thought right then and there, this is not good for her to be looking at me or trying to look at my eyes from a very early age. Oh, and I'm looking at my phone. I'm not even looking at her. And she's trying to track with a human, you know, and I was with her 30 hours a week. And I'm like, I'm the primary, you know, attention giver. And so that just kind of put me on a trajectory of how do you raise a baby today when you're so distracted and your eyes are looking at another device? And I just, after a year of research and reading a lot of papers and books and from experts, I just learned that it's different raising a kid in a digital world than it was 20 years ago. And my heart just went out to all the parents, and because they're doing it. And I just, I gave the baby back after 6 months. And of course, now I say to my daughter and my son-in-law, okay, started a good thing here. Don't mess it up.
Don't you dare.
I laid the groundwork. Okay. I sacrificed. I put my phone down. I had to be very intentional about, because I still use my phone 7 to 8 hours a day.
So it's
not like, I just had to do it intentionally, and not when she's trying to get my attention, not when she's tracking with me. Like, I had to go back to being human in this digital world and really be a mom, grandma, really act like that primary caregiver. And it was work, but I did it. And now she's grown up. She's grown up well. Awesome. In the digital world. Yeah.
That is crazy. And so after your granddaughter, Smart Digital Kids came to pass. What is Smart Digital Kids? Tell us about that.
Yeah. So Smart Digital Kids, you know, I spent some time with it about 6 months and I thought, what do I want to do? Let's build some type of company that I can help parents and help myself and hear from other parents and how they're struggling and kind of support each other. And the definition that I came up with for smart kids growing up in a digital world, smart digital kids are kids that are raised with parents and grandparents who know the power of tech and to teach their children to use tech intentionally. So don't even pick up the phone unless you have clear in your mind, what is your intention? What are you doing? Are you just going to tell? Are you going to just kind of scroll for a while? Great. Are you going to text someone? You're going to look up a recipe? Are you going to whatever? Great. And what I did for, to get started in this company was to tame my tech, to tame my own tech, because I sat down. It was like this wild thing. And I want to be looking at this granddaughter of mine who I love more than anything in the world. And I'm just like, this wild thing is in my face. So I just said, that's it. I'm going to tame my tech. And then after my research, I'm a qualitative research. So I went through and I looked at the patterns and what just jumped out at me. And it was, what to do to raise a kid in a digital world are four things. Raising them with connection and communication. And the way to do that is talking to them, asking them questions, especially the teenagers, modeling good health, good digital health and behavior, and explaining what you're doing on your phone. So T-A-M-E, it actually spelled tame.
What?
Communication, talking, asking, modeling, explaining, and literally all the experts and all the books, they all said the same thing. These four things, how do you communicate with your kids? And I'm like, okay, I'm taming my tech and I'm going to remember talk, ask, model, explain. So that's my first little, I put the book up on my website, super cheap. And I'm like, let's go. So, you know, starting a business, it's been slow, raising my grandchild and kind of working. And then, you know, I got a family, my kids. And so it's been, you know, going along and slowly growing, but that's what keeps me going. It's just the idea of a next generation growing up to be smart kids in a digital world, kids that know how to communicate with compassion and care and smart. And so that's where I'm headed.
That is way cool. So when did Smart Digital Kids when was it conceived? When did you first start?
Almost 3 years ago. So 2020.
Cool. Right. Yeah, right. As everyone was getting on their devices 24/7.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness. 2020 COVID. Oh,
it was awful. I saw that happening. I was working for an architect.
And you're in California.
Well, I was actually in Kansas at the time. So I live in two different places. I'm in Kansas. My family's in Kansas, but I'm working in California right now to meet other people and connect. But I also got travel back and forth between Kansas. So my family's I have family out here, but my family of origin here is in Kansas. And so I was working for an architect. As a marketer, I could work from home. So I went and worked from home and I just listened to what was going on. The teachers were crying. The kids were crying. The parents were crying. And I thought,
we were all not in a good place.
Everybody was crying. And I was crying because I wanted to help. And so that's when I thought, this is going to be horrible coming out of it, because we're all having to use our devices and we are going to be hooked. We cannot. Habits are going to be formed. Yes.
Well, yeah. And that's part of the reason I brought you on. I came across some of your stuff on Instagram specifically about how we get hooked to our phones, to our devices. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we need to talk about this stuff. It's not a lot of neurology content and like how screens literally affect the chemicals in our brain. So let's dive into that. What is going on with the screens and the chemicals in our brain, and why are they are designed hooks to sink into our brains?
Yeah, it has to go with how we were made as humans, right? We have three parts of our brain. We got the frontal lobe, And that's not developed until we're adults and we know how to calm ourselves and make rational decisions. We've got control of our bodies. We're not going to freak out. At least it's frowned upon in society, right?
Right.
Then we have the middle part of our brain, which is kind of emotions. It's kind of the passion we have. It's kind of, we live in the middle part of our brain a lot, right? It helps us get through life and feel all of our feelings. And then we've got the very primitive down here brain that is reactive. It's children, right? We're way back here. And as it's beginning, we'll react to things. We might have the fight, flight, you know, get scared. Right. It's all new. So it's all new to these kiddos, these babies. And they're just growing and growing and growing. So now, in a way, when we're not using our frontal lobe and we're not paying attention on what is good, what's not good, and actually intentionally thinking, oh, this machine in my hand is kind of stealing my attention. Mm-hmm. That's what we need to be thinking in our frontal lobe. But we are just living here in the emotional lobe.
Yeah.
So we get a lot of dopamine is one of the chemicals. We get a lot of cortisol, which is a stress chemical.
Right.
We get oxytocin, which is a love chemical. When we see something we love online or a friend, or we reach out, we get a little oxytocin there. So we have, I'm not a neurobiologist and I'm not a doctor on the brain or anything. I read books from experts, and Dr. Anna Lemke is one of the most accomplished, amazing doctors out of Stanford about addiction. And she wrote this book called Dopamine Nation, and just how we get hooked. And it's dopamine, which is the feel good drug. It's kind of a reward drug, right? And it's a motivating drug. So that is what is going on when we pick up our device, especially on social media. We as adults and our younger teenagers get this kick of dopamine. It's a chemical thing. We can't override it. It's part of how we grew up and how we were endowed with chemicals and bodies. And that's part of our body. We can't just think we're living in our brain. It's part of body. So that happens from a very early age. And it can calm us when we get what we want. We feel good. And then we keep going back. And that's the pull. And that's why it's so addictive right now. If you just want that dopamine hit again, and you don't get it in other areas of your life, like you don't other play board games and win in the board game, you can get the dopamine that way as well. Mm-hmm. It's just easier to get it with a device because the neuro design, there's persuasive design, it's neuromarketing. It's basically marketing with the brain involved and wanting to go with that middle brain to excite shock, fright, love, all of these gamuts of emotions that we can't even express. And our kids can't even express all of our emotions, but neuroscientists know the emotions that humans have, and they just pick at them to make us come back and pay attention.
And that's crazy to me that these companies, these platforms, they literally have neuroscientists, child psychologists helping them. Like, here's how you grab their attention. Here's how you reel them back in. And we are none the wiser. I feel like a lot of times we treat kids as just really small adults. And we're like, yeah, you just need to police yourself. You know, you can monitor yourself. You can regulate yourself and everything. And I'm sitting here like, dude, we can barely regulate ourselves with our fully developed prefrontal cortex here. And you're asking this child who is 90% emotional decision maker to regulate themselves with this addictive device? It's like asking them to bench press 300 pounds. They can't do it.
No way. They cannot do it at all. So true. Such a great point.
And so, okay. So the question arises then, because technology is not going anywhere, right? We're in a technology world. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
What is a healthy amount of screen time for kids? A, and then B, how can we, we talked about the four points, but I guess kind of going deeper, help kids develop that healthy relationship with their tech so that they own their tech and their tech doesn't own them.
Yes, that would be ideal.
Right.
That's what we want. It really goes back to teaching, right? Mm. It goes back to teaching and educating in a digital world. And that comes natural to me because I'm a lifelong teacher, right?
Right.
You work with kids as a counselor, you just naturally teach. That's just what you do. You explain a lot to the kids what might be going on, and you're able to ask those deeper questions. And so I try to get parents to understand that taking an extra 2 minutes to understand, to educate themselves and understand what is going on in my toddler's brain. You're exactly right. I think we do forget that they're not adults, or they're not understanding. They are not born with the understanding or reasoning that frontal lobe at all. They've got a decade to go before they're even going to understand logically what you're even talking about. So
right.
Talk at them. And we tell them, no, you can't have the iPad. No. And we just take it away. Oh, they're going to react because that's what they do. And they've had those chemicals tickled.
Mm-hmm.
And so just like what I say to parents is, you know, a healthy modeling of what healthy tech use is, ripping an iPad away from your toddler is, it's not the best go-to first thing to do, because to imagine and to get that empathy for your child, imagine if your child came and grabbed your iPad or your laptop or your cell phone away.
Oh.
And right? And that's another thing I've said to parents and dads, especially. I say, are you on your phone? You're doing mail, or you're just scrolling real quick, whatever. And your toddler, your son, who's three, comes up and bats the phone out of your hand, really, or pushes the iPad or whatever you're doing just completely off your lap. And we react. We are in the middle. And we're like, what are you even doing? Do you know how
expensive? Right. We get mad. We punish them. Like,
because it's an expensive machine. It's like $700. What the heck are you doing? And that just, your kid who's very, very young does not understand why daddy just went off the handle.
Right.
Rein it in. And again, put yourself in your kiddo's shoes, because they don't understand the cost of a damaged device. They just understand that you spend more time looking at the device than inside in their minds.
And guys, the cost of a damaged device is small and pennies in comparison to the damage of your child's psychology from these devices at such a young age. So like when they look at the stuff that they like, right, they feel the dopamine and a little oxytocin. And then when they're in periods where you take that away and you take it away suddenly, that's when the cortisol comes flowing in.
Exactly.
Which forces them to be in fight or flight mode for a very, very long time, guys. And when they're in fight or flight for so long, cortisol for that amount of time is not great for kids. They're always tensed up. They're always scared, nervous, because they don't know why they're feeling jittery. Do you know why? Because that's an addiction. It's literally withdrawals.
Mm-hmm.
No. Oh, my goodness. It kills me that little tiny kids are going through withdrawal symptoms of addictions at such a young age. They're like, why is my kid flipping out? I'm like, well, did you watch 5 hours of TV and then suddenly turn it off? That's why.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, it's so sad. True.
It's exactly what you say. And some of my research, again, of younger kids who are dealing with this, and it's so sad to see, and parents just don't know. It's education, just learning. And one of the doctors that I follow is Dr. Dunkley, Victoria Dunkley. She's here in LA. And she wrote a book called Reset Your Child's Brain.
Oh, Tell us.
So when your brain is there, our kids' brains are just out of control because they're gaming or they're doing, they're scrolling, whatever they're doing, playing their little games that they like on the iPad, or they're playing Roblox is probably one of the most popular right now. She has this, coined this phrase called electronic screen syndrome, ESS. And so she explains that kids today, and she's seen thousands of families and these young kids come into her office, say, my kid is revved up, my kid is wired, my kid is glued, and they come undone when it's time to get off. And I say, get off your device, and they just melt down. And it's either, you know, from 3-year-old all the way up to teenagers, really, but she deals with the littles because she explains the chemicals that are going on. And like you said, addiction, withdrawal, it takes up to 30 minutes for the cortisol to come down. lower the level 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You're having a meltdown with your kid. Oh my gosh. He goes on for 20 minutes or 30 minutes. Like, no. You're both going on for 20 and 30 minutes. And not just he's freaking out. You have to watch that freaking out. And she gives such great suggestions on how to get them back into their body. So when they're there, they're in their brain, they're like fight, flight in the game or whatever they're playing.
Right.
To rip them away from that, get them into their body as soon as possible. Have them get a drink of water. Have them get them start talking. Explain the game. What was your favorite part? Take them out of the digital device mode and come out into the real world mode. It's a process. It's not just you're done. That's like the worst thing you could do, right? Taking the drug away or taking the device away.
That doesn't work. It's kind of like waking up from a really realistic dream. Like, it takes a while for you to realize this is real life. My husband did not do that thing that just happened in the dream. I do not need to be mad at him. Just kidding, ladies. Kind of. but it takes a second. And what a lot of people really don't realize, our brains cannot multitask.
No.
And so when we are in fight or flight, when that cortisol is going through, the blood flow cuts off to our prefrontal cortex. It is gone. There is no blood going to our prefrontal cortex, meaning we can't make rational decisions when we are hyped up and emotional. We need to breathe and slow down so oxygen can go to our decision-making, our rational thought. And people don't realize that. And so when they're like, oh, kid, calm down. I'm like, dude, you cannot rationalize with a tantruming three-year-old. You need to help them breathe and get them to where oxygen is going to their brain again before you start trying to talk to them about anything. It is so hard.
Exactly. And that's another thing I counsel parents when they're like, what do I do? They will not get off the iPad. And I tell them 100 times that teaching them agency, like you were saying in the very beginning, teaching them to own it, right? This is the iPad, even though it's mom's iPad, but it's got the protector around it. The kids can handle the handles. It's really theirs, right? Teach them how to handle the device so they have control over the device. And a very simple technique I tell parents is teach them from a very early age that when it's time to get off the device, they power it down.
Ooh, I like
just
that.
Teach them to turn it off. Teach them how to turn it off.
And like all the way. Not just sleep it.
Hold it down for 5 seconds. Yeah, 5 seconds, swipe, shut down, turn off, and put it where it needs to go, probably in the charger, right? We all recharge it because we don't want to run out of juice, right? And that's going to happen all the way through. So responsible behavior starts, and again, modeling healthy behaviors, start teaching early, explain why we're doing this. It's good for your brain. It's good for the computer. Computer needs to recharge, and so do you, because your brain limited.
Oh, so much.
The machine is lifeless. The machine will go on forever, but your brain won't. So
I love that. Something that one of my friends, Chris McKenna over at Protect Young Eyes, technology is not a me thing. It's a we thing.
Yeah.
And so if like from the start, I'm like, okay, Billy Bob, this is going to be the iPad or whatever, the tablet that you can use for school, but it is Daddy and Billy Bob's iPad. Okay. Right. Like it's never just theirs. If we can start that mindset for them, that it is never an individual burden, but it is a team effort.
Yes.
They're a lot more likely to listen to you when it comes time to stop. Now that is a good question. What about those kids that won't get off? That like you've set the boundaries and you're like, hey, in 10 minutes, we're going to get off. You set the timer goes off. You're like, hey, time to get off. No. And then she just turned it off anyway and deal with the tantrum. Like, where do we go from there?
No. Cause that's more headache and that could hurt the kid because the kid could throw a device. And, you know, we see these full blown tantrums from hitting the parent to throwing things across the room. Right. So at that point, when they're here, right, and they were dopamine, they were cortisol, it's all mixed in now. And now you're a threat to them because they're not thinking, oh, you're my mom and you love me and feed me and I know you.
You are the taker of happiness.
They're here. Exactly. I'm battling people right now. I'm finishing what I'm starting. You are the threat. Get them again, like we were saying, into their body. So sitting next to them and just kind of gently bumping them so they know you're there, if they're so into what they're doing, you're touching them right away. They're humans. They're going to feel that. You're not threatening them. You're just kind of checking it out, right?
Yeah.
You have an agenda. They need to get off. They need to, you've already said it 10 times. They know they need to get off. Even a toddler knows. My mommy said that they have a memory, but you sit with them for a second and you say, wow, you're doing great. I can see you've done well. And you kind of just be their buddy, if you will, and slowly work with them and say, how much longer do you think you can do this? And then boom, they own it. They have the agency. They have the control. And they say, well, I'm just going to do one more, whatever. That's your foot in the door. And then you continue. Sometimes it might take 5 minutes, another 5 whole minutes to get them off. So you decide, is 5 minutes next to them, watching them, teaching them how to detach from their tech, better than a 15-minute tantrum and they hate you?
Yeah.
And you go to bed angry and you're like, why did I have children? Right. It's like, right. I didn't sign up for this. Why are we doing this? So that's like another thing I tell parents is you have the power to help your child be empowered over the device. Mm. So the device, like you said, neuroscientists and the way it's been designed, the games, the gaming industry. We think social media.
Oh my gosh.
So they're getting hit. Our poor children are getting hit and they need us. They need us, right? Because we're against that device and everything that's in it, right? Not just the device, right? The device is just a tool, but what's inside of it is not. It's got an agenda. Every game, every advertiser, every social media post. Yep.
So how do we maintain boundaries without causing World War III? I mean, yeah, we want to, like, you know, get them to be human again, but it's like, we don't want to just like let them run scot-free. Like, oh well, okay, we don't want to deal with the tantrum, so we're gonna just, like, do they just come out of it themselves, or at what point do we kind of have to like, no, hey, we're gonna turn it off now? Like, you've been stalling for 20 minutes now.
Right.
Like, I've been sitting by you for a half hour.
Oh, yeah. Like,
when is enough enough?
Well, it's funny because the parents will say that they'll jump to the next thing because they've gone through it before. And they'll just say, oh, I've done that. Have you really done that? You know, I've done that. I've sat next to them and told them you got to get off. So it's the attitude that you come to them with it. And if you come to what they're doing and you need to get off because you're the parent, you know better, and they need to get dinner, they need to go to bed, they need these habits.
Right.
It takes some time to get into the habit of, I see you like this game. You're not bad at it. It's coming to them and having a relationship and a connection. And the kid will be, I'm bad. I totally suck. You should see, you know, jumper 52735. He's the best, you know? So if you have this communication with your young child and you know what game they're playing, they know that you care. They know that you're involved in their life.
Okay, that's the key.
So
you gotta build a rapport.
The connection. So, and then after that, once you have that, this is my iPad, I allow you to play it. This is a game that I allowed you to download from the App Store. I am in control. I'm going to help you be in control. Ultimately, it is my decision. Ultimately, I do decide. And sometimes you're going to have a full-blown tantrum because it's a triage. You're like, uh-oh, this happened. I've got to take it away. And the kid does not understand. You're going to have times like that.
Yeah.
But go for the connection through communication and compassion.
Oh, that's a big one.
Have some compassion.
That's a big one.
And it just goes back to you. What are you doing on your device? That if somebody came around and said, you get 5 more minutes, well, how are you going to react? Your kid will say that to you.
Yeah.
Have your kid hold you responsible, you accountable as well. And I think that is, it's a hard thing to do because we always think, oh no, it's not going to work. Or, oh no, it's not that easy. Or, oh no, it can't. And that's just kind of what I did for my kids. I can just explain how I did it for my kids. And I messed up so many times. I was reflecting on this just the other day, how many mistakes I made in parenting. My kids are in their mid-20s. And yet the tech was something I did right. I did it I did it good. Not that I didn't mess up sometimes, because I totally did.
Right. But like we all do.
I did a better job in this area of parenting because I understood the power of technology, of the machine.
I mean, parents, think to yourself, in your quest of trying to get your kids to disconnect from their screen, are you disconnecting them from you? Sometimes before you get them to disconnect from their device, you need to connect with them first. You need to build a relationship, build a rapport. You can't just come in like an army general shouting at them and expect them to fall in line. If there's a relationship of love, then they will work with you. But if there is not a rapport, there's not a relationship of love, they will actively work against you.
Exactly. And telling them what love is. Again, it's like
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Explain. Tell them you love them.
Explain. You say, I love you. And we're going to get off our devices right now. Mommy puts her phone down first, modeling. And then it's time to put the iPad down or to put it in the charger, power it down, put it in the charger, because I love you. And I know what your brain needs.
Yeah.
Because I made you, right? And I know you, and I've grown you up to this powerful, wonderful 3-year-old, and I love you so much. And I'm so glad I get this 5 minutes to put you to bed, and we're hoping they'll go to sleep right away. But so that's kind of what it is. You can make rules. They're your rules. And as the kids get older, have them have an active part of making the rules, setting the boundaries. You're like, what are the boundaries? Have the kids as young as age 4. Help you set the rules and the boundaries, because then again, it gives them the agency, and you remind them ever so gently, ever so compassionately, that remember when we made the rule that when mommy asks you to get off the iPad, it is for blah, blah, blah reason.
Right.
And you got to remind them, this is what we do. This is our habit. This is our goal. Our goal is to get in bed by this hour. You know, will you help me? You got to gamify it a little bit. You know, you're on my team. We're going to do this. And again, that healthy modeling, that's it. Put your phone down, mom. You know, what's so important? You're going to get a phone call. Are you a surgeon? Now I understand if you're a surgeon, you might need to have that in your back pocket, but you know, most of us are not going to be, you know, needed to have that phone call, and we can put it down for the 10 minutes that we need to talk to our kids.
Sorry, my cute little 5-year-old opened up the garage door. He's like, Dad. I'm like, I know. Case in point, I'm in my garage right now, my home office, and I have to tell my kids, hey, Daddy's going to be on his computer doing a podcast for X, Y, and Z amount of time. That communication piece, guys, like the problems we face, that like diving into the neurology and all the stuff that we're facing, a lot of it can be avoided by just dictating to our kids why we're doing what we're doing and having that healthy example. Man, this has been such a good conversation, guys. So where can people see what you're up to? Shameless plug time. Let's hear it.
Well, I'm across most the major social media channels. So Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, although not as much Twitter, but LinkedIn. If you're a mom and you're a business that needs help with parents who are distracted. So my handles are Smart Digital Kids. You can just Google me, Dr. Beverly Pell, Smart Digital Kids. I show up on the first page of Google. So you'll see me everywhere. Just Google me, Smart Digital Kids. And if you have a Smart Digital Kids, please reach out, or Smart Digital Kid, please reach out to me, because I want to know what you're doing, because it helps me and helps my community as well. So we all need to work together and pitch in and help each other and give us, you know, what are your solutions? What's working for you? So I just love that community. So reach out.
So there you go, guys. All of those will be in the podcast description. So please go check her out. She's doing amazing things. And thank you all very much for listening to this week's episode of the Save the Kids podcast. If you would like us to come to your school, church, community, or event, please, there's a link in the bio for you to fill out a speaker form so we can start that conversation. For your one-stop shop of raising resilient kids in this tech-heavy world, please check us out on Instagram at Save the Kids Inc. And always remember, you are wonderful, you are worthy, and you are worth it. Go home and give your kids an 8-second hug, and we'll see you on the next one.